Thirsty? You've come to the right place to wet your whistle. It's the Liquid Lifestyle with Ryan McGarian, a full hour of liquid refreshment. Now, here's Ryan.
What's cracking, my thirsty listener? All right, so if the sound of my voice is flowing into your ears like a crisp glass of Helles Lager, you know that you're riding the earth with me here at the Liquid Lifestyle here on the Radio Northwest Network. And as always, I am your host and on-air bartender, Ryan McGarian, where today we are recording right out here on Northwest 23rd at Fireside, the Fireside restaurant, my friend Sue Erickson's restaurant. And it is, man, we're having a fabulous early spring, aren't we? Man, it's so good to be here in P-Town. And if you're joining us for the first time, this little show of mine is generally dedicated to all things liquid and delicious. Specifically, we love talking spirits and cocktails and beers, wines, and coffee and tea, along with occasional forays into other spaces that I think you, my liquid listener, might enjoy, along with, of course, the fine folks and joints that serve all these bad boys up, be them right here in the City of Roses, Hops, and Hipsters, or as you might have experienced in past episodes, parts far, far beyond. All right, so today I am riding shotgun with one of P-Town's finest, my buddy Sue, who owns the Fireside Restaurant. Sue, good to have you.
Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
It is my pleasure. It was pretty cool seeing that we both were marching up Dog Mountain this past Saturday. Man, that's a brutal hike, huh?
It is a brutal hike. It's a short hike. And so in that, 3.4, if you go the harder way, you get 3,000 feet elevation gain or more. So it's an ass kicker.
Dude, seriously, like that was, and I am a serious like gorgeaholic. There's a new term for us today, and I had never done that one, and I really did feel that. Have you? Oh man, we're gonna get off track here because we could talk the gorge all day.
If you think that's hard, you need to do Mount Defiance.
Mount Defiance, I heard, is super brutal.
It's the highest point in the gorge. It's a much longer hike. It's 5,000+ feet elevation gain. Yes.
I'm so not on that one, Sue. So, once again, we're talking with Sue Erickson from Fireside Restaurant. So, you know, I really want to just go back, and you've had a really cool career. I mean, you've been in P-Town for a long time. You've been kind of an industry benchmark, in my opinion. You've worked at some of the great places. You've developed some of the great cocktail programs all over the city. But before we get to that, let's chat a little bit about where'd you come from, Sue? I mean, as I recall in our conversation, you're from Cheyenne, Wyoming, yeah?
From Cheyenne, Wyoming, yep, which is, you know, probably somewhere nobody's been unless you were driving through on 80 or 25 and not much reason to stop. But yeah, I grew up there and then I moved to Jackson Hole when I was like 19. So finished growing up in Jackson Hole, or avoided growing up in Jackson Hole, whatever it is. So yeah, I spent 15 years there off and on and worked in the service industry the whole time, as well as some interior design gigs, and it's one of the most beautiful places on the planet. I definitely developed a love for the outdoors there and got to engage in that much more than I do now. But I started my first bartending job in Jackson was at the Log Cabin Saloon, complete with saloon doors that sway and flap as you come in and out. So I worked there. I also worked at the Rancher, which is another bar on the town square, which is not there anymore.
Let me jump in real quick. What was the drinking culture like? And this is probably, this had to have been the mid 90s, right?
Yeah, exactly. So at the Log Cabin, we had the big bottle of Crown Royal on the little thing that you can flip it over so you don't have to pick up the bottle. It's on some sort of a little balancer and you just have to turn it down to pour your shot, and Crown was kind of like the thing because that you could drink in excess and not get as bad of a hangover was the common wisdom of the day. So that was big. Margaritas, you know, and frozen margaritas at that, because that's how everybody drank them then. So every bar had a blender behind it, and lots of margaritas. Things like purple people eaters, and that I don't even remember what was in that, Chambord and some vodka and some sweet and sour mix, because everybody had sweet and sour mix and that's what you used. Not highbrow by any means.
Yeah, you know what? Definitely in the mid-90s, the craft movement that we know today certainly hadn't kicked in. So so let's fast forward, because there's so much to talk about. Let's fast forward to when did you come to P-Town? When did you land here in the Rose City?
I moved here in 2005. Had been working for an interior designer in Jackson. Had managed a couple of restaurants. Had been a bar manager at a few places, and kind of needed a little break from that. Started working for a designer and just thought that was a cool gig and something I had never thought of. So looked for some good programs. That landed me in Portland. I came here in 2005. Have a BFA in commercial interior design. Kind of graduated at the height of the economic downturn in 2009. So I was just scratching my head going, I need a plan B, because this isn't happening, and there, you know, 40% layoffs had been around town in that industry, and this was something I always loved. This was something I always did, and for a long time thought about making it a career, and then kind of had some bad experiences with managing, you know, and wasn't sure that was what my career wanted to be, and so that was just kind of a big, really, like, come to Jesus moment for me. It's just the thing that I've always had, that I've always really enjoyed, that I had just kind of not really thought seriously about. And so this was my awakening and just sort of going, shit, you know, let's just go for it. I'm gonna do this.
So let's talk about, let's work, because there are so many great gigs that, you know, I remember you holding up the stick at so many great places. And as we work through that, I think the first place that I recall you working at was Balvo here in Portland. And if you guys don't remember Balvo, Balvo is also on 23rd. You seem to like this this area of town. It was Kenny Giambalvo and Bruce Carey. Bruce Carey, who has just contributed so much to the city. And it was a really beautiful, dramatic restaurant with lots of orange. Tell me about your experience at Balvo.
Well, that was my first job here in Portland. So I was, you know, coming out of a little town in Wyoming and into the big city of Portland. And so everything felt new and, you know, more shiny and bright than what I had been accustomed to. And so that was more of a program in every sense, whether it be food, drink, wine, beer, than I had worked under. Well, kind of. I worked at some pretty great places in Jackson. But I don't know. It was, you know, it was a new restaurant, and there's always, like, such a great energy when you're opening a new restaurant, and to get to be a part of that is pretty special and pretty frightening in a way as well, because you don't know what it's going to hold for you, and you can't really rely on things, and things are up and down for a long time. But really great crew of people. Kenny Giambalvo is an awesome guy to work with and for. Bruce Carey, too. So it had a lot of changes. You know, we went through some things. We changed some things. They decided that wasn't really working out the way they'd wanted it to, and so they changed it to 23 Hoyt, I think, 7 months later. It was kind of a weekend of being closed, and voila, here you go, new thing. New chef, new concept.
I remember that. I remember that that went over pretty quickly. And, you know, as I recall, I mean, that was, Balvo was pretty ambitious. Like, it was pretty ambitious, and it was, you know, ambitious on the fine dining front, large scale in a neighborhood. So, you know, when I look at it as a restaurant guy myself, you know, it makes sense that they went to a more casual format, which, of course, became 23 Hoyt. And I, you know, being old school Portland, like, you know, I remember how much, how awesome Zeffiro was. And there were, and I think that there were definitely pieces of, like, the Zeffiro bar at 23 Hoyt, and just as with the Zeffiro bar, great cocktails. And did you Holland, you stuck around for quite a while over at 23 Hoyt, yeah?
The whole time, so from Balvo to 23 Hoyt, I was there like a year and a half. And at that time, there had just been a lot of changes. There had been a lot of ups and downs and things happening. And I knew someone who was going to open, who was going to be the bar manager, actually a friend of mine from Jackson Hole, who was going to be the bar manager over at Rocket, Leather Stores, this place. And I was kind of ready for a change, so I went over there to work. So I had a couple of shifts there, and I had a couple of shifts at the Driftwood Room at the same time.
Got to jump in, Sue. That's the end of the first round, folks. We'll be right back at you in just a few moments. And welcome back to The Liquid Lifestyle here on the Radio Northwest Network. As always, I am your host and on-air bartender, Ryan McGarian, and we are sitting outside. It's a beautiful day here in P-Town. We're sitting outside at the Fireside Restaurant here on 23rd, talking to my buddy Sue Erickson, the bartender proprietor of said establishment. And if you missed our first round, we got to know Sue a little bit. We got to hear about her background. She grew up in Wyoming, out in the wilds of Wyoming, and slinging frozen margaritas and purple something or others to the denizens of the folks in Jackson Hole, moving out here, of course, in 2008, I think you said it was, or somewhere abouts there, to pursue some interior design, and then moving into the industry. As we left off, you were wrapping up your time at 23 Hoyt, and you picked up a gig at Rocket. And for those who don't remember, Rocket was probably one of the most ambitious restaurants and loudly talked about restaurants in Portland history. Our buddy Leather Stores, he's a sweetheart, man. He was definitely in a stage there, super pumped about kind of the molecular extreme stuff. And so tell me about working at Rocket.
It was a trip, you know. It was, I remember our first meeting of having everybody there. We weren't open yet, and Leather describing the program, the food program, and it was kind of like, you know, we want it to be shocking. I mean, we kind of want to make people a little uncomfortable in a good way with good food, but it's going to be something like they haven't seen before. So we were all just sitting there going, all right, what the hell does that mean? You know, because we hadn't seen anything. We didn't know, other than you have your, you know, immersion circulator and you're going to put that to good effect, and what does that mean? So, you know, it was a lot of cool techniques and stuff that I hadn't been exposed to before, and we used some of that behind the bar. We had our house Cosmopolitan had little droplets of cranberry juice in your I can't remember the name of the process that you
spherification is that what it was
spherification yes so we did stuff like that. It was really experimental and really encouraged to be so on all fronts, you know, everyone in the kitchen, everyone behind the bar. So it was really fun for that reason. I had more of an opportunity to play around with the cocktail program there in ways that I hadn't before. So yeah, it was great. It was an awesome staff and, you know, yes, ambitious, like you said, and, you know, maybe not really, I don't know if the city was really ready for that at that time. So unfortunately it didn't last, but while it was there, we had a good time.
I tell you what, well, once again, we're talking with Sue Erickson from the Fireside Restaurant here on Northwest 23rd. But, you know, with regards to Rocket, you know, kudos to Leather. I mean, like, that guy, you know, sadly didn't end up connecting like he hoped it would, pivoted it to a noble rot. And I tell you what, I mean, you want excellent freaking comfort food in a super killer room with one of the best views in all of P-Town, you take your butt up to Noble Rot any day of the week, and it's on like Donkey Kong, man. It really, really is such a cool space. But so it sounds like you learned a lot over at Rocket, and then you jumped back across the Willamette Ocean and landed at the Driftwood Room. And is that right?
Well, I was there at the same time, because when Rocket opened, there was only like 2 bartending shifts available. And so I took those 2 and needed a couple more gigs, and so worked at the Driftwood Room at the same time, which was the stellar opposite of Rocket. You know, you go from being on the 4th floor and this amazing view and bright windows and molecular everything to your little dark hole that is the Driftwood Room, and very much old school hotel and bar, and great for totally different reasons.
Indeed it is. With regards to the Driftwood Room, where it went under a transformation sometime in the 2000s, were you there pre or post transformation?
I had post. Just they had just kind of gone through there. You know, you couldn't smoke in there anymore, so they had totally whitewashed everything in there. A little bit of a new concept. It was, I don't know what the concept was before. I know it was a big local hangout, but I don't know what drinks they were making. So it was just kind of a little bit more spiffed up environment. I mean, the whole hotel got totally redone, and it's beautiful and gorgeous, and it's this old Hollywood theme, and the Driftwood Room, a little of that, not really. It's just kind of, you know, a dark, swank little spot to go have a drink at.
Truly, it's a really wonderful spot. Actually, one of the bartenders who worked for me at Oven and Shaker for 4 years just moved over there to take over the bar management role, Steve Syrock. So shout out to Steve. Once again, we're chatting with Sue Erickson here at her restaurant, The Fireside. If you haven't been out here, I mean, this thing is, one of the great things about The Fireside is it's epic in the summer and it's perfect in the winter. I mean, when you hear the term fireside, you're thinking, you think winter, but then you drive by with the winter, with the windows open, with the kind of breezy interior that you've helped cultivate or cultivated yourself, it really makes sense in all seasons. So actually, before we talk all about that in the next segment, I just want to hit a few more spots that you worked. You worked at Ping. Ping was pretty dope, wasn't it?
Yeah, Ping was super fun. You know, that came after Rocket closed, and I was looking for a new gig, and Ping was opening, and it was something totally different than anywhere I had been. It was a lot more casual than where I had been. It was kind of food that I wasn't really that familiar with, and had been a big fan of Pock Pock, and it was Andy's spot, and so I thought, give it a shot. I knew Kurt from Ping, and that was kind of one of his first little forays into Chef's Table, and it was a totally different thing. I mean, it was like not, you know, craft cocktails going on there so much, but more about infusing those flavors into your drinks with similar ingredients that they would use over there, and so not stuffy at all.
Yeah, and man, I mean, things just did not work out right for Ping, and nor for me when I did a little bar next door a few years later. Easy Company didn't work out for me either. We all, I guess, you know what? It's like there was originally going to be a Wajamaya, and there was a lot of, you know, there was a lot of buzz about the kind of evolution of Old Town, but sadly, it just hasn't happened yet, and it's too bad. But I think eventually you're gonna see Old Town really. It's just got the coolest stories, the coolest architecture. Give it some time, I think, and I think it's going to come around. You also worked at Gruner. That's another one that's not around anymore, and that was an icon, you know. Chef Israel got a James Beard nomination or award or something or other there, and they had you had a great bar program there.
Totally. I mean, I think Chris was just ready to...
Actually, sorry about that. Got to jump out. We will catch you in just a few moments. And welcome back to The Liquid Lifestyle here on the Radio Northwest Network, where once again we're sitting outside, because we can, here in P-Town in the spring, at the Fireside Restaurant on Northwest 23rd. And we're talking with my friend Sue Erickson, the bartender proprietor here, and kind of just rolling through her industry journey. And at the end of the last round, we were just getting into your time at Gruner, which is now transitioning into Superbite, a much-anticipated restaurant from Greg and Gabby of Ox fame. But, you know, you guys had a pretty serious cocktail culture over at Gruner. I thought that must have been a lot of fun. I mean, an Alpine restaurant, which gives you kind of a very specific playground to kick around in. Tell us about the bar you had over at Gruner.
Yeah, Gruner was awesome. You know, I had worked for Chris at 23 Hoyt, so I was back under his command, and always had a really great relationship with Chris. And then Gruner, yeah, just lots of really cool various Austrian German products that I hadn't worked with before, and kind of a flavor profile I hadn't really worked with before. An amazing wine program that definitely was new. A lot of those things were new to me. And beer as well. So it was just a big, huge eye-opener of all kinds of new things to taste and explore and pair with and whatnot. I mean, Chris would like take a trip to Austria and come back with all of these amazing schnapps, you know, and that was fun to have and pour for people and turn them on to some new things, which you just really can't get stateside. Like, it's just kind of a product and a flavor profile that even made here tastes different. So, I mean, I guess you would describe it in general. Things were a little more austere of a palate, you know, as compared to something like a tiki room or, you know, something even here in the summer where everything is kind of really like produce driven of what's going on here. It's a little more austere, but not in a not in a bland way, you know. It was just kind of like nuanced alpine flavors.
Nuanced alpine flavors. That's just hearing you say that makes me thirsty. I really enjoyed what you guys were doing there. And you always had Spot and Optimator on tap, which makes a whole bunch of sense. But, you know, as I listen, as I sit here kind of not only as the host, but as a kind of listener, it's really, your journey's been really awesome. I mean, you've really been exposed to so many different kind of genres of flavor. And when I think about the cocktails that you make here at Fireside and your general style, it all makes sense to me now. It's just like, because it's very eclectic. There's a lot of confidence. There's a lot of stuff rooted in classics and vintage drinks. But then there's always all these twists that can only come from someone who has a background, I think, like you. And I think this is just the perfect segue to talk about your baby. And, I remember you going through the process, and I was going through a similar process. So we were sharing some information and sound bites. But man, this has worked out really well for you. I'm so stoked.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's been a super fun process. We're three. We just turned three in March. And so that's been a whirlwind. I mean, it was a lot of planning and a lot of time spent getting it open. And so to me, it more feels like 5 years because it kind of was. But yeah, I mean, I couldn't be prouder of what we're doing. You know, I think growing up in this industry and working in this industry, you always have all of these thoughts about, well, if it was my place, I would do it like this. And if I, you know, was running the show, I would do this and I wouldn't do that. Or honestly, you more than likely have so many good examples of what not to do and how not to do things, and some good examples of how to do things. So, you know, getting to just kind of ruminate on all of that and put it into play and practice has been hugely educational and eye-opening and reaffirming sometimes, and other times totally like, why did you think you could do that? You can't. So yeah, I'm stoked to have gotten the opportunity. It's amazing. It is a lot of hard work, but it's a lot of fun work still. I still would do it again if you asked me right now.
Let me jump in real quick. What was the genesis of Fireside? How did this come together from the very beginning?
So, based on the horrible economic downturn of 2009 and me looking for a plan B of what I'm going to do with my life, because I thought I had it figured out, now I don't. Wendy Hessel, my business partner, is someone that I had worked with at both Balvo 23 Hoyt, and then her and I worked at Lincoln together as well. She was, you know, a friend of mine that I had seen throughout the years and seen how kinds of decisions she made in her life, and seemed to be a responsible person and a thoughtful person and hardworking person, and those are all traits that you need for this business. And so I was just sort of talking to her about, hey, maybe let's do something. Let's, you know, put together an idea and open a bar, open a restaurant, open a shop. You know, it was just kind of that sort of playing around with ideas. And then we both know Dick Singer, our other partner, from when we worked at 23 Hoyt and Balvo. He was a regular customer there. And so long, long story short, Wendy ran into him. He was asking what she was doing. She mentioned her and I were talking about doing something. He was interested. Voila, this came to be. Way longer of a process than that, but that's how this happened. You know, he owns this building and it had been vacant for a long time, and Dick had always wanted some restaurant in here, and all of us wanted something that was really like neighborhood driven and casual, but, you know, nice products, nice quality, but not fine dining. Something that, you know, spoke about Wendy and I, about Portland, about, you know, so Fireside kind of came from this commonality that her and I have of outdoor love. You know, it was kind of like, that's the biggest thing we have in common. It's kind of a cool concept to think about, you know, outdoor inspired food and cuisine, food and drinks, which doesn't really mean a whole lot. We're not trying to be a literal representation of that, but just, you know, a space and some flavors and things that kind of remind you of some of the best times.
Totally what, that's totally kind of what I get out of the place. I mean, especially with the term fireside, you're thinking comfort, you're thinking outdoors, you could, like, you know, you can pull campfire, campground, all those things out of that. I actually think that is such a cool little kind of genre, and it's always important to have kind of a point of reference going into any kind of culinary kind of expedition, you know, whether it's drinks or whether it's food, is to have a unique kind of, I guess, point of reference, context to work off of. And I think that's pretty exciting. So yeah, I mean, it's always really hard to get a restaurant to work, especially when it's kind of like your dream and you want to put so much of yourself into it, but at the same time you don't want to be on the revenue prevention program. But it's definitely all come together for you. And let's just talk a little bit about the F&B culture. So specifically to the food, like you're saying, it's kind of like this outdoors inspired cuisine. What are some of the things that you're most proud of that somebody might pop in and grub on?
Well, our menu changes seasonally, of course. But there are certain things that we always have going. We've got a whole grilled trout that we do. That's pretty, we've had that since day one. It's super simple. Growing up in Wyoming, trout is like the salmon of Wyoming. Everybody has it on their menu. You're sick to death of it. So it took some convincing for me. But given that, you know, it's just this great dish that's just, you've made that at a campfire, you've made it in your backyard, you know what it tastes like, what it should be, and it's simple. You know, it's, we've got a sage rubbed oil on there right now, it comes with some fresh sorrel and whatever is in season. I think it speaks to the concept really well. We've had s'mores on our menu since day one, and they're made, you know, there's house-made graham crackers, a chocolate ganache, house-made marshmallows that we flambé before they go out, so it's just kind of a fun little nod to what we're doing. Just kind of grill specific. I mean, we had a huge grill in the kitchen when we opened that everything was, not everything, but a lot of things were coming off of. So grilled bread and some house-made olive butters, you know, super special grilled vegetables. We do kebabs sometimes in the summer, you know, just those kinds of things. It's like outdoor focused in.
Yeah, you know what? Oh, man, making me hungry. We got to jump out. That's the end of the third round. We'll be right back at you in a moment. Welcome back to the Liquid Lifestyle here on the Radio Northwest Network, where we are sitting outside at Fireside, a restaurant here on Northwest 23rd that's owned by my friend Sue Erickson, the bartender and proprietor. And if you haven't caught any of the past rounds, we spent a lot of time just getting to know Sue. She started out in Wyoming and then moved to Portland, and has worked at some of the great restaurants in town. Incredible exposure to a wide variety of culinary genres, and then got to realize one of her dreams, which was having her own restaurant. And you can't find a better freaking location than right here on Northwest 23rd. As we sit here, I'm just watching just so many people cruising around, and I know a lot of them are popping in. So in the last round, we hit on your culinary program, but today for this final round, let's talk drinks, and let's talk about your cocktail menu. What specifically, I mean, I would imagine you've done all this stuff, you've been exposed to all this stuff. What were you thinking in the genesis with regards to your cocktail menu?
First and foremost, that it was going to be fun, you know, and playful and nothing too serious, while at the same time being serious about what's being chosen, what's being utilized, and how it's being utilized. I've always been somebody who really likes making things. I make a lot of our products here. We have a house-made tonic water that's fantastic. We make some bitters in-house. I have a coffee liqueur that I use with Spella's coffee, and he's amazing. It's the most delicious coffee in Portland, I think. So just kind of like taking that and infusing it into what is Fireside, right? And so what does that mean for cocktails, outdoor focus? It doesn't really mean a whole lot. It means those kinds of flavor elements, whether it's kind of a smoky thing or a charred garnish or whatever, and overall just something that's kind of fun and really playful. So we have a drink on our menu called the Backyard Grillin'. It's been there since day one. It'll always be on. And it literally was developed at a backyard barbecue at my house. You know, we're concepting for Fireside. I got a bunch of people over. I'm just like, what would be a cocktail that we'd be drinking right now, you know? And so it's tequila and a little bit of mezcal, some Zuca Rhubarb Amaro, lemon, and then we take orange slices and grill them, and that goes inside the glass so you see it. It's like the first visual. It's called that. You taste it. It's got some smoky notes from the mezcal. It's delicious. So from that to, you know, what right now we've got... Oh, we've got a rhubarb shrub on for a non-alcoholic thing because it's spring and that's nice and bright. And
real quick, let me jump in. A lot of people may not know what a shrub is, but it's definitely an ingredient. It coming from, you know, back in the 19th century, but it's seen an enormous resurgence, adds a lot of tactile to a drink. Do you want to tell our listeners what a shrub is?
So shrubs are just basically a way of preserving your fruit and being able to use it throughout the year. So they're made equal portions fruit, sugar, and vinegar of some sort. Typically, you make that into a syrup, and then you're going to dilute it with soda water or water. And so for this one, for the rhubarb, because rhubarb's a delicate flavor, I like to use a verjus instead of a vinegar, which is just wine grapes that are picked at before they're ripe. So the acid is really high. They're not fermented. It's not a wine. But that comes out really well, and then it's a delicious NA beverage. You can use that in cocktails. So we've always got one of those on. I don't like really sweet things. I don't think most people do. I think we were inundated with that for a time, and so the favorite thing that everybody says that makes bartenders cringe is, I want something not too sweet. How is this drink? Is it too sweet? And it's just like, no, it's not. We make balanced drinks here. But I get it, because that's what everybody was exposed to. So anyway.
Yeah, and you know what? I also, just when I walked in to catch up with you today, really digging your happy hour menu. I liked how you just kind of said, you kind of just went right down the fairway with classics and vintage. And I saw a couple on there that, you know, I know because I'm kind of a geek for looking in old books, but there's some gems like the Hoopla. I mean, how's that happy hour menu doing for you?
It's great. Our happy hour kills it. And yeah, happy hour's always been just classics. We don't ever do house cocktails for happy hour because I think it's a cool way to turn people on to where this whole industry started and what was being made. And drinks were really well balanced and delicious back then. Not all of them. There was plenty that were too sweet or too tart or whatever, but some cool cocktails, and that's kind of where all of us start, you know? Like, I have a ton of old books, and I love, you know, paging through there and seeing, like, hey, they put this ingredient with that ingredient? Cool, I never would have thought about that. Or, you know, here's this thing that's just got two or three ingredients, and it tastes like this. Oh, my God, mind-blowing. So it's a good thing for our bartenders as well, just to kind of build their repertoire of classic cocktails. It's a good thing for customers to come in and understand this is what people were drinking back then, and it's not that dissimilar from what you're drinking now.
I am so sorry to jump in on that. It's been an awesome show. Time flies as always. Once again, thank you, Sue, for being at the Liquid Lifestyle today. And folks, that's the end of round 4. We will catch you next time.